Well, at our house, we receive a lot of mail about every day. Most of it has to do with somebody wanting money, either for a political movement or for a Christian ministry. We've got this great ministry and many souls are saved and all this, but we need your money. And the politicians are having certain projects, and we're doing this great thing in Washington, but we need your money. And accompanying that are some Christian periodicals that I receive that are good and tell me what's going on across the country. I know several pastors across the country, so I'm able to keep up a little bit with what is happening in Christianity across our country and around the world. And through church history, it's interesting how certain subjects arise and become a point of discussion. For instance, during the early church days, the discussion arose about who Jesus is. Is he God or is he man or is he both? And so you have church councils. Then, of course, later on comes the Reformation. Then we have people becoming, quote, charismatic or Pentecostal. Then we have people who are very interested in future events, and that's about all they think about or teach. Well, today, one of the big discussions and debates across the country is in regard to worship. Because of a changing style of worship across the country, churches are not what they were even 10 years ago, and certainly not 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. The style of worship or the trend is toward emotionalism and entertainment, so that churches have become theatrical. And wherever there's any music, there's great applause. Now, I think that's an insult to the people doing it, because there are sincere people who can play an instrument or who can sing, and in church, they're not doing that for applause. They're doing that as an offering to God. Now, let's just have it be that way. And when I'm in a church where they're applauding, I think, well, somebody just led in prayer. They didn't applaud. Why do you applaud just because it's music? Well, it's happening. So the trend and the style is changing. So it becomes a big discussion of what should be happening. What is worship? How do we worship? And so I want to get into that for a few weeks. And this morning, discuss the worship that pleases God, and refer to the passage that Darren just read in chapter 4 of John and verses 23 and 24. And there's a key thought here about worship, picking it up at verse 23. John 4, 23. Yet a time is Jesus speaking, coming, and now has come because he's here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the worshipers the Father seeks. The worship that pleases God is worship in spirit and in truth. Now, one of the problems with the contemporary trend is that people almost begin to worship, and neglect the truth. Throughout the early history of the church, the truth has always been central. Now it is not. Music is central. Other things take over, and the teaching of the truth is just a mild aspect of time together. Let's consider then worship in spirit and in truth. Now, I personally certainly don't want to be blind to change when it's good and right. But I want to resist that, which does not glorify God and what is not pleasing to Him. What pleases Him is worship in spirit and in truth. Now, think of this. It is not just the style of worship. That's the basic thing. Now you can think of a Roman Catholic church, an Episcopal church, a Lutheran church, some Presbyterian churches. Their style is called liturgical, which means that everything is set in order. You sing a hymn here, you stand, you sit, you confess, you do you're standing and sitting. Everything is well ordered. That's a liturgical style. Other churches are at the extreme of having nothing in order. Let's just come and wing it and see what happens. Other churches are semi-formal. Some order, but as we do, we have participation with prayer and testimony. We're sort of semi-formal, but we have a plan. And so there's all kinds of styles. Now, the style doesn't mean it pleases God. So we don't want to get locked into a style. I think what's important for us a little bit is to be creative and not be able to come to church where we know exactly what's going to happen. But let's be surprised once in a while, do something a little different so we're alive and we don't go to sleep while we're singing. So, if it isn't style and it isn't whether we sing a hymn or a chorus, and it isn't who, quote, is leading worship, what is it? What is the foundation and the necessity that makes worship please God? It is, without any opposition or debate, it is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. That's it. He can use any style. He can use anything he wants to, but if he isn't present, it is all empty, meaningless, and useless. Go home. So, as you and I are here this morning, it is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in us individually that makes the corporate worship meaningful. Last night, did you start preparing for worship? And as you came in this morning, Were you praying for the presence and the power and the communion of the Holy Spirit in your life? See, if we aren't doing that, it's meaningless. Worship takes on excitement, joy, when the Holy Spirit is here to bless. The worship that pleases God is the worship in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Now, here is another forgotten thing in Christianity today, and that's the knowledge and fellowship of and with the Holy Spirit. He's kind of forgotten today. He's left out, ignored in many places. Let's begin at the very beginning of our Christian life about the Holy Spirit and the necessity. First of all, the Holy Spirit is necessary for regeneration or salvation. The familiar passage in John 3, it's just over there from John 4. Would you turn to it, please? And what it begins with is the visitation of Nicodemus to the Lord Jesus. He comes at night, asks a question. Verse 3, in reply, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Nicodemus comes with a question. Verse 5, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Now, first of all, he said no one can see. Now, no one can enter unless he's born of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Do not be surprised. You must be born again. These things he spoke of the Spirit. There is the necessity of the Holy Spirit for our Christian life, for our salvation, for our regeneration. And three things about the necessity. First of all, it is absolute. Jesus used the word must. Now that's not it's not in the area of relativity. That is factual, actual reality. You must be born of the Spirit, and there is no exception to that. There is no other way you can be born again. So it is an absolute necessity. Secondly, it is universal. He said, no one, king, president, general, musician, athlete, preacher, whoever, no one can. It doesn't matter your financial status, your social status, your career, where you live, it doesn't matter. No one can be born, enter the kingdom of God, without being born of the Spirit. Thirdly, the necessity of the Holy Spirit in regeneration is unchanging. Isn't that something? That's true. Since Jesus spoke these words, till now we're about 2,000 years later, it hasn't changed. It's true today. There'll be no one in heaven who isn't born of the Spirit. The necessity of the Holy Spirit for regeneration. That's the start. That's the beginning of the Christian life. Now, let's go on, take another step. Well, let me just insert here my fear. as one who has the privilege of teaching biblical truth. One who has the responsibility of teaching spiritual truth. That I confuse or mislead someone, and that person thinks they're Christian, believes they're Christian by something that I have done wrongly. Now, I know that isn't possible theologically. God isn't depending on some perfect witness. And yet, I want to be very careful. And I would fear that anyone who comes here, walks into our church, would leave thinking they are all right with God, when in fact the wrath of God is upon them and they are headed for hell. I fear that personally. I don't want to be a part of that. Think about that this morning for us personally. Let us each one think of that. Let me think of that. Am I regenerate by the power of the Holy Spirit? And not just playing games in church. Well, that's the first necessity. The second necessity is the necessity of the Holy Spirit for spiritual understanding. And with that, we have to go to another passage of Scripture. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Would you turn there with me, please? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to begin reading at verse 9. The necessity of the Holy Spirit for spiritual understanding. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. It is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us, the regenerate, by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has really given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth and spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. That is powerful truth. It describes to us the condition of every non-believer. Everyone who is not regenerate cannot understand spiritual truth. Now, if you haven't already, you're going to have the experience of talking to some people about the Lord, about the Bible, about heaven, about sin, about hell, and it's going to go whoosh. I mean, they aren't even going to get close to what you're talking about. Why? They cannot. They don't have the ability. They're locked out. They're natural men. They're not spiritual people. They cannot. So you can't be regenerate. You can't understand biblical truth. You can't understand the Bible. It's a lockout. Let's take another step then. The beginning of the Christian life, regeneration. Now we're regenerate. We understand the Bible. We love to talk Bible. We love to talk about the Lord. We love to talk about our salvation because the Holy Spirit gives us understanding. Now, thirdly, the Holy Spirit is necessary for spiritual worship. Jesus said it in the passage we read, John 4. They that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Without him, it's empty. Without him, it's a wasted time. Only he can produce worship in a human being. And he is able to do that. He is ready to do that. And I think I can say he loves to do that. Now, let's just run through a few things here about worship. In the content of worship, what is central? Well, if you read through the Psalms, the hymns of worship, it's thanks and praise. Are you full of thanks and praise this morning? Are you so wrapped up in circumstances or people that thanks and praise is sort of left over here in a basket somewhere? Now, what can take us out of that? Only the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to produce thanks and praise. When we have testimonies, we ought to be like popcorn Christians, popping up with thanks and praise to God. What an opportunity we miss. Secondly, what is worship about? It's about humility before God. The Bible speaks of being on your knees. The Bible speaks of people falling on their face in worship. What does that symbolize? Humility before God. We are humbled. He is exalted. Who can cause that? Only the Holy Spirit. Another vital content of worship is reverence. What is that? It's a sense of the greatness and the majesty of God. And the only person who can give us a sense of that is the Holy Spirit. An aspect of worship is adoration. What is that? It's like love. Maybe a little bit beyond love. We know some of that in the romantic sense, but it's theological. Another aspect of worship is to produce delight and pleasure. We ought to be so delighted to be here. We ought to find such pleasure in worship that it consumes us. Now, the only way that can be brought about is not by us trying to pump it up, but by the Holy Spirit within producing it. Another aspect of worship is change or transformation. If this is an appointment with God, and it is, then we ought to be regular in it. See, a Sunday morning worship service is an appointment with God. And we've already made the decision. What do we do on Sunday morning? Well, we go to church. We don't have to wake up every Sunday morning and make that decision. Well, I've got this to do or that to do, or I feel this way or that. We've got company. Leave the company and go to church. They'll be okay. Ooh. It ought to produce a change. What change is coming over us this morning because the Holy Spirit is causing us to worship? Transformation. Christian life is growing. That's why it isn't boring. You can't be a Christian and be bored. The Lord Jesus Christ is too exciting. I mean, He's the most wonderful person we will ever know. And to be with Him and to have communion with Him brings change. Well, we're going to amplify this further. We could go on and on and on about this. What are we saying? We must worship in spirit and truth to have the worship that pleases God. The Holy Spirit is necessary to regenerate, necessary to give spiritual understanding, and necessary for us to worship in spirit and love God as we should, and love each other as we should. Let me ask you this morning, in the light of this, in the necessity of the presence and power and communion of the Holy Spirit, have you ever worshiped God? Or have you done something else? Have you ever really worshiped God? When is the last time you have ever really worshiped God? Are you worshiping Him at this moment? Has He arrested your mind and your attention so that you are in communion with Him? This is something we as a body need to pray about. That this will be our experience as we meet from time to time. This will be our experience in our family. This will be our experience personally. That we worship in spirit and in truth, because this is the worship that pleases God. This is such an important part of our life, and we need to be careful that we just don't easily fit into the mold of what has become very popular in terms of worship, but that we go for reverence and humility and worship in spirit and in truth. Let's pray about that. Dear Lord, we thank You for the Bible, which always grabs hold of us and takes us back to reality and teaches us what is real about what pleases You and what doesn't, and what is necessary for us to live before You. Thank You for the passages that we looked at this morning, and we pray now that by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, these passages will penetrate deeply into our lives, and that we might be the people who are transformed by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask you for this. We thank you that by your grace you are pleased to grant us these things. We accept them now by faith in the fullness of joy and under your blessing. And we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. There's probably, I don't know, you know, there's a ton of books written about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what are the evidences? You could have people list 100 different things. But there's one thing I think that stands out in Scripture. How do you know when you have the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in your life? When you're doing what he does. And that's it. You have to do what he does. Do you know what he's doing? Do you know what the Holy Spirit is doing now, in these days of church history and in this age of grace, what his purpose is? Oh, I'm preaching again. The sermon's over. He is exalting our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are doing that, it's the evidence power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Without him, you can't do it. Jesus said, I'm going away, and when he comes, he will glorify me. If we are a church putting Christ central and glorifying him, we can be confident we are in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit.